Scripture reading is Psalm 116. Psalm 116, we'll read the whole chapter. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. So far do we read the holy and inspired word of God. Verse 15 is the text for this afternoon. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We all face death. Many of us have faced death numerous times. Loved ones have died. Grandparents, siblings, even children. Maybe some have gone through miscarriages too. That's death. Maybe there are some here today who are sick, or some of you have loved ones here that are very sick. And when that happens, you and that loved one of yours are thinking about death and what happens at death. Facing death is difficult. It means the end of an earthly relationship. And it's difficult too because we don't know what exactly it feels like. We don't really know what it feels like for our loved one. We don't really know what it will feel like for ourselves. That's hard. It's difficult. Psalm 116 serves to comfort us believers as those who do face death. And Psalm 116 has served to comfort God's people throughout all of history, throughout history since. One ancient church order called for the singing of this psalm at the death of every believer. And one old faithful bishop in Antioch in 250 AD, he died with the words of verse 15 on his lips. As he was killed for his faith, he was saying those words, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This is a psalm that's been read to believers on their deathbed and served to comfort aged men, aged women, and dying children. What a wonderful thing when you think about how God inspired this psalm, this verse, to be written over 3,000 years ago. And part of the reason was so that you might be comforted by it. Comforted by it during your life. That's amazing grace. And what amazing grace that part of the reason God inspired this psalm to be written long ago was so that your loved one who has died in Christ, so that he or she might have been comforted during her life or his life as they sang this psalm and read this psalm. That's the great grace of God. Praise him for that. In Psalm 116, verse 15, it says something that takes some thought. It says that death is precious. And that means death is valuable. Now, when you first hear that, you might think, how is death precious? How is that valuable? Do you know what death is? The death of saints is precious in God's eyes. And since death is precious, the death of saints is precious in God's eyes, the death of saints ought to be precious in our eyes too. And it is. It is. We'll come to understand that more today by the grace of God. What exactly is happening, though, in Psalm 116, where this verse about death being precious is found? What's happening in the psalm? Well, many believe that the psalm was written by David. David wrote many of the psalms, and if you look at the whole psalm, it certainly would fit with David's life. For instance, the psalm speaks about death and about being delivered from death. And David certainly faced death many times in his life as Saul chased after him, Absalom chased after him, seeking to kill him. And David was delivered from them and others. Also in verse 11, the psalmist speaks about men being liars. Absalom lied to David. Some of David's friends, so-called friends, they lied to him as they went over to Absalom's side. This psalm certainly fits with David's life. In this psalm, David speaks of having been attacked by enemies and brought very close to physical death. In verse 3, he says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell," and that's the grave, "the pains of the grave got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." David was being attacked and he was near death. And he was brought very low. He was in a dark place at that time. He was miserable. It almost seemed that God was really not taking care of him and was not with him. But God delivered David from those enemies and from physical death. And he used that event even to bring David to see his goodness. In verse 7, David says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." So God delivered David from physical death, and that served to remind David that God was good to him in so many ways, including spiritually, for God delivered David spiritually from sin and from his spiritual enemies. That's why he says in verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" And David even came to see that if he had died as these men chased him, if he had died, God still would have been taking care of him. God is good. David saw that God cared for him and that his death was even precious in God's sight. So may we come to understand that truth today, that the death of saints is precious in God's sight, and may we be comforted with that word as those who do live in the midst of death. Let's consider this psalm, this verse, verse 15, under the theme, precious death. Precious death, first, the truth, second, the reason, and third, the calling. Precious death, first, that truth. Death all by itself is not precious. Know three things about death. First, physical death is the separation of body and soul. Man has a body and man has a soul. Man's body is the physical part of him. It includes his bones and his flesh and his organs. Man's soul is the part of him that is not physical. It includes his mind and his will, his spiritual heart. When one dies, his soul is separated from his body, and his body ceases to function. It doesn't function anymore. The one who dies, their earthly existence completely ends. They no longer see, smell, taste, and touch, hear. And everything that they have here is taken away. They don't see you. You don't see them anymore. The earthly relationship is over. Death is separation of body and soul. Second, physical death is part of God's punishment for sin. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." So part of God's punishment for sin is physical death. The wages of sin is death. That includes physical death. There was no physical death before Adam and Eve sinned. In physical death, God is really saying that someone is unworthy to have a name and a place in this world, not worthy to exist here on the earth. Third, physical death. Physical death for us apart from Jesus Christ is a passageway to hell. And hell is the place of everlasting suffering. Everlasting suffering under God's wrath for sin. That's hell. Now, our loved ones do die. Their soul separated from their body. Their bodies don't function anymore. They don't see us and we do not see them. Our loved ones die and we will die too if the Lord does not return first. And by itself, death isn't precious. By itself, that is apart from Jesus Christ, the death of us and of our loved ones is not valuable to God. It's not precious to God. We are sinners, and He sends us to hell at death that is apart from Christ. So by itself, death is not precious to God. By itself, death is not precious to me. Death is sad. Death is difficult. The earthly relationship we had with that person is over. Death by itself is not precious. Psalm 116, verse 15 teaches, though, that the death of saints is precious to God. The death of saints is precious to God. Who are saints? Usually the word saint in Scripture means holy one. And this word in Psalm 116, that word saint means faithful servant of God. So the idea is similar to holy one, but it's a little bit different than the way the normal word found in Scripture. This word means faithful servant of God. And the idea is that the saints are people who love the Lord and serve Him. Verse 1 even says, David, a saint, says, "I love the Lord." Saints are those who see their sins and they believe in the Messiah for all of their salvation. That's why they love the Lord. and seek to serve Him in thankfulness. They know their sins and know Jesus Christ, the one who came to save them from those sins. They believe in Him. Saints are those who are sorry for their sins, believe in Jesus, and serve the Lord in thankfulness. And understand that saints live as saints only because God chose them before the world began, redeemed them in Jesus Christ, and gave to them His Spirit. That's the only reason they live as saints. It's God's work. Now think of your believing loved ones that have died then. They were saints. They saw their sins and believed in Jesus for their salvation. They loved the Lord and served Him. They showed that maybe in the way they raised their children to love the Lord, or in the way that they treated others. They loved to read the Word, and they loved God's church and to be with God's church and to worship with them on Sunday and be with them throughout the week. They were saints. And those loved ones in the Lord, they were saints only because God chose them, because God redeemed them in Jesus Christ, because God sent to them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. Praise Him today. And saints are friends of Jehovah. Friends of Him. The name of God that is used in this verse, verse 15, is very important. The name of God that's used here is Lord in all capital letters. And whenever the name Lord is in all caps in the King James Version, that name is Jehovah in the original language. And like the other names of God in Scripture, the name Jehovah teaches us about who God is. The particular name Jehovah emphasizes that God is the unchanging, faithful friend of His people. The unchanging, faithful friend of His people. You see, that name Jehovah means I am. I am. He is not the I was, meaning that He had one attitude in the past and now has a different attitude today. He is not the I will be, meaning that He has one attitude today and will have a different attitude in the future. He is the I am. The unchanging one, the faithful one. And the name emphasizes that He is the unchanging, faithful friend of His people. This was the name. This name Jehovah was the name that God used to, when He was revealing Himself to His friends in the Old Testament, the Israelites. When Moses was called by God from the burning bush to go and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, Moses asked, he said, "Who should I tell the Israelites sent me?" And God said to Moses, He said, "Tell them that the I am sent you. Tell them that Jehovah sent you." And the idea was that they were to tell he was to tell the Israelites that their friend sent Moses. Their faithful friend who takes care of His people and will be with them on that journey from Egypt to Canaan. Jehovah used this name to reveal Himself to His friends in the Old Testament. That's the emphasis on the name used in our text. Unchanging, faithful friend of His people. And His people are the saints. He is the unchanging friend of saints. And when you look at the rest of Scripture, that is made very clear. In other passages, the saints are called Jehovah's adopted children. That's Ephesians 1. In another passage in Ephesians, the saints are called Jehovah's spouse, His bride. He is the friend of the saints. And the death of a saint is precious in God's sight. God's sight refers to how he views something. And that he views something as precious means that he views it as valuable. It's important. It is something wonderful. Something that is valuable is not something that he doesn't care. Something that's valuable isn't something he doesn't care about. No, he says it's valuable, it's precious, it's important, it's wonderful. The death of saints is precious in God's sight. That's how he views it. And that makes sense when you look at the rest of Scripture. Consider the idea that if the tears of saints are so valuable to him that he keeps them in a bottle, as he says in Psalm 56, then certainly the death of saints is valuable. But why? What's the reason? Why is the death of a saint precious to God? The reason is that at death, God brings the saint to live with him in perfect friendship in heaven. Death has been changed because of Jesus Christ. Death has been changed for the saints through Christ. Death is no longer a penalty for sin for the saints, because of Jesus' work. The sins of believers were put upon Jesus Christ. He had those sins upon himself, and having those sins upon himself, he suffered under the wrath of God for those sins. He suffered the penalty of death. And therefore, the sins of believers are gone from God's sight. And believers do not have to be punished for them, and they will not be punished for them. Jesus Christ was punished for those sins in their place. Believers are not punished for their sins then during their lives. Believers are not punished for their sins then at death. No illness that a believer has, no cancer, no horrible disease, none of that is God's punishment upon the believer for their sins, because Jesus bore that punishment for them. Wonderful. Jesus suffered God's wrath in our place. And because of Jesus' death, death is no longer a punishment for believers for their sins. The death of the believer has now been changed. Death now serves to abolish sin in the believer. That's question and answer 42 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Death serves to abolish sin in the believer. That means remove it. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Believers have the life of Jesus Christ within them, but we believers also have a sinful nature in us. We will have sin within us throughout our entire life. But God uses death to abolish that sin within us, to remove it so that it's completely gone, all sin from within the believer. That's the first thing. Second, death is also a passageway to heaven for the believer because of Christ's work at the cross. Death is a passageway to heaven. And what a contrast that is to what it would be like without Christ. Without Christ, death is a passageway to hell, the place of everlasting suffering, and that never ever ends, place of torment. But since Christ was punished for our sins, death is not a punishment and a passageway to hell. Instead, it's a door to heaven. Because Christ paid for my sins, God says concerning me, and he says concerning believers, he says, righteous in Jesus Christ. Being righteous legally, believers have the right to heaven. And thus, Christ has turned death into a doorway to heaven. Think of that, kids, as death, not really as a scary thing, but death as a doorway to heaven because of Jesus, so that when you die, you go right there, just as the thief at the cross did, that Jesus was hung up next to, the thief at the cross. Jesus said to that thief at the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Luke 23, verse 43. So the day, the moment that the believer dies, he enters into paradise right away. And in heaven, no, there's no sin, there's no confusion, there's no pain, no suffering, only perfect life with God. And that's all because of Christ. He earned that for his people by his work at the cross. Praise God for the Savior. And now the death of a saint is precious to God because at death, God brings the saint to a place where they live in perfect friendship with him, that place being heaven. Jehovah chose to save a people to himself for the purpose that they would live with him in friendship. Jehovah did not choose to save a people to himself simply so that he might forgive them, deliver them from sin. And he didn't even do it simply so that they would enjoy heaven. God chose to save a people to himself so that they might dwell in friendship with him, the covenant God. Remember that his name is Jehovah. That's his covenant name. He's the covenant God of friendship, who's unchanging in his attitude of love and friendship towards his people. He chose to save a people to himself so that they might live with him as his friends. And God sent Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, so that he might dwell in that friendship with us forever. He says in Exodus 6, verse 7 about Israel, he says, "I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." He chose to save Israel so that he might dwell with them, and they might experience his friendship in the land of Canaan. He chose to save a people to himself. Today too, so that we might live with him, speak with him, praise him, serve him. Jehovah does live with us, the saints. He lives with us now in friendship. Lives with us right now. He has regenerated the saints. That's why we believe. We would not believe if we had not been regenerated, given that life of Jesus Christ. So we live with him now. He speaks to us in the Word, and we speak back to him in prayer and in song, and we, the saints, seek to praise him and serve him in this life. So Jehovah lives with his people now, but after death, understand, we will live in perfect friendship with God. Perfect friendship. Now we have that friendship, but it is hindered by sin. God is always with his people on this earth. He says, "I will continually be with thee." But this relationship now is hindered by sin. God is not pleased with sin, and so often we sin. Sometimes we even continue in sin for a time, and we lose the sense of God's favor for a time. God still loves us. He never abandons us, but he does bring us to feel far from him as we walk on in sin, like happened with David when he went on for a year in unrepentance after committing adultery and murder with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah. Understand, when we die and when we go to heaven, there will be no more sin, and that relationship with God will not be hindered by sin. Never again will we walk in sin and lose the sense of God's favor. We will not just experience God's closeness either for a time, but we will experience God's closeness all of the time, at every moment. We will perfectly know Jesus Christ. perfectly serve Him. He will speak to us and we will speak perfectly back to Him in prayer and in song and in our jobs that we have there. We'll perfectly serve Him at all times, doing all of our work to the glory of God. Never seeking our own glory, always His. Perfect friendship. Consider 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." So now we see God through a glass darkly. Our fellowship is, our friendship can be hindered by sin. But in heaven, we will see God face to face as we look at Christ, and there will be perfect friendship, unhindered by sin. And that's the life of our believing loved ones in glory right now. You think about that. That there's no sin. No sin there. That's hard for us to imagine as a people who have only lived in a place where there is sin. But that's their life now. No sin. Perfect knowledge of the Savior. Perfect service of Him. Perfect dwelling with God's people there that are already there. Living together in perfect harmony to the glory of God. What a wonder. And that's why the death of saints is valuable to God. His purpose is that we live with Him in friendship. And at death, we are brought to that perfect life with Him. His purpose is fulfilled. And the most beautiful shout that rings in heaven is the shout of Revelation 21, verse 3, saying, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God." God clearly loves His people. The death of saints is valuable to Him. Our own deaths are precious to Him. At death, we will be brought to that life of perfect friendship with Him in heaven. Precious. Death is precious. The death of saints is precious to God. And there's a calling implied here. The calling implied in this text is to live as a saint, repenting and believing in Jesus Christ and serving the Lord. This text says that the death of saints is precious in God's sight, not the death of every single person in this world is precious in God's sight. There are those who walk in unrepentant sin. Those who really do not care about sin. They do not look to Jesus Christ. They don't care about Him at all. They do not believe in Him. Their death is not precious in God's sight, and they're sent to hell. There are even those who confess Christianity, but their lives contradict their confession. They go on uncaring about sin and do not look to the Savior. They are not believers. They might talk about Jesus, but their lives show they really do not believe in Him. Their death is not precious in God's sight. Only the death of a saint is precious in God's sight. So the calling here, and listen closely, the calling is to live as a saint, repent, and believe in Jesus Christ, and serve the Lord. That's what David did by the grace of God. That's what our believing loved ones did. And may we live as saints too. And if you do, recognize that it is only because God chose you. God redeemed you in Jesus Christ, and God sent you the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's God's work. And if you are a saint by the grace of God, then know too that your death is precious in God's sight. That when you die, you go to the place of perfect friendship with God, where you live with Him in that perfection forever. Since God estimates the death of believers to be precious, may we believers also see death as precious. May our estimate of death be changed. Sometimes we don't view it the right way. May we see death as precious too, the death of saints. Right now, even as we talk about death during this sermon, that's very difficult for some who are here, certainly. And we might sorrow now in connection with the deaths of our loved ones in Jesus Christ. But remember that Jesus Christ is in heaven rejoicing. Tears are permitted. But may they always glisten in the light of faith and hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. By the death of his saints, God takes his people to love them and cherish them forever in glory. So see the death of saints as precious. See death as precious for your loved ones in Jesus Christ. See your own death as a precious thing. You will be brought to heaven where there's no sin, there's no confusion, there's no sorrow, no pain. And it will be even better than we thought, never could have dreamed, because we've only lived on this earth where there's sin and where there's struggle. But at death, we are brought to that life of perfect friendship with God. So say along with Paul in your heart now, say along with him, to live as Christ, but to die is gain. And as you think upon that and what we've been given in Jesus Christ, say, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will praise him. I will praise him forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we draw nigh humbly, acknowledging our sin. We pray for forgiveness for all of our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge that we have no hope apart from him. Because of what he has done, though, we do have hope. And we, O Lord, pray that we may live in that hope and in that faith, trusting that Jesus Christ has earned for us and our loved ones in Christ, he has earned for us eternal life in heaven, where we will live in perfect friendship with thee. May that, O Lord, be believed by us. In Jesus' name, amen.